The reading this morning comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26, and you can find that on page 1172 in the Church Bible. Galatians 5, starting to read at verse 13. Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Charles. I can't help but hear those words and start singing the song in my head, if you know the song of the fruits of the Spirit. It just always happens. Anyway, Sophie, let's pray for you and pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word brings life and freedom. And so, Father, we pray for Sophie as she speaks. Father, we pray that you would speak life through her. And Father, we thank you for what you've been doing in her as she prepares for this message today. And Father, we pray for ourselves. Would you speak to each one of us? In Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. It's so wonderful to see you all. Excuse me. For those who don't know me, I'm Sophie. I'm on the staff team here at Christchurch, and I'm also a music teacher, which is delightful. But something that possibly tells you just what, in my opinion, is a bit more exciting about me, is one of my things that I love is the outdoors. I am such a country bumpkin. I grew up on Dartmoor. I've just loved that, the stepping out and just seeing the wildlife and just the natural creation around me. And you may get a picture of that with some things that I say later on. So, as Neil said, this is the start of a new series. So this morning I'm looking at life by the Spirit as an overview. In future weeks you'll be looking at the more specific fruits of the Spirit. But I just wanted to start by saying that life by the Spirit isn't a state of striving or of trying really hard. It's a state of being. And there's so much about that that sort of thinks, well, how on earth do I do it then? It's if it's not something that I can just try really hard to do. But it's really important to remember that the fruits listed in that passage, that they are just that. They are fruits. They are results. They are not... they're not something that you can try really hard to have a bit more love or try really hard to have a bit more peace. But the way that that's going to just come as a natural fruit is by, if we take the image of a fruit tree, and as its roots grow deeper and stronger, so does the fruit grow bigger and more abundant. And I just think that's so important to remember when thinking about this, that actually as we grow deeper in our life and relationship with God, that's when the abundant and beautiful fruit is going to come. So I wanted to take us to a verse in Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God, like eagles rising towards the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow faint. So in first looking at that verse, I was thinking, so what is our job in this? What is our responsibility that this verse tells us? And it's so simple, to wait on God, to hope in him, to expect him, and to lift our wings, lifting our arms in an act of invitation, saying, yes, God, I trust you, take me. And the fruit of that is listed. The fruit is that we will gain strength, we will renew power, we will run and not become weary. I mean, they're quite extraordinary fruits. But they aren't for us to strive for. All we have to do is to wait on God, to rely on him. So how do we take our hands off the fruit and leave it to God? We have but to trust. To trust God, to trust the process that he takes us on. This verse in Isaiah uses the analogy of bird flight. And before looking too much into that, I'd just like to read a quote from Spurgeon that I recently came across, which I just love. So Spurgeon is a 19th century preacher. So please excuse the fact I do struggle with saying some of these words. It's a bit of a mouthful. The air says to the eagle, trust me. Spread thy broad wings. I will bear thee up to the sun. Only trust me. Take thy foot from off yon rock which thou canst feel beneath thee. Get away from it and be buoyed up by the unseen element. My brethren, eaglets of heaven, mount aloft, for God invites you. Mount, you have but to trust him. We are eaglets of heaven. Don't you just love that phrase? I was considering it, and it reminded me of when I was going into my exams towards the end of secondary school. I would be absolutely terrified, particularly with the spoken exams for languages, which is ironic because I love languages. But when it came to that, I just felt crippled by a feeling of, I can't communicate properly, and da 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 da, and that just went on. And my dad would always catch me beforehand, and he would just say, I see feathers sprouting on your arms. Now, as a 16-year-old or an 18-year-old, I was quite unconvinced by this as an idea, but I did think, well, I mean, I kind of like any encouragement, so that will do. And now, as I look back on that as a notion, I'm just like, oh, that's so good to see in another person, but to also see in yourself and celebrate that. Wow, I'm really growing. I'm really trusting. I'm really actually allowing myself to fly. And, you know, that the passage says, love your neighbor as yourself. What if it were to also mean in loving that we celebrate your neighbor as yourself? Celebrate the growth that we see in other people, but also in ourselves. So I was recently in the Lake District and had a very lovely time. And I was climbing up a fell and looking down on the valley and saw some birds of prey down below. And they were just hovering. And I was immediately struck that they were flapping so fervently, and you're gaining so much control by that. But they were stationary. They were absolutely stationary. And once they locked their wings into position and didn't twitch them at all, they soared just naturally and beautifully up into the air beyond eyesight. And that's just such... I just loved that as a visual for what this Isaiah passage is talking about. That as we flap and try and gain control of our own, we're stationary. We're not moving in the direction that God is calling us in. But actually, as we give him control, as we trust in him as being the wind beneath our wings, we can just soar. We may not know where we're going. We may not be able to see where we're going. But we have to trust that actually he's taking us to far bigger and better places than we can imagine or see. So where does this trust take us? It takes us to freedom. Freedom from a responsibility that is not ours to hold. It's not our responsibility to be thinking, oh, but I should be this, I should be that. That actually our responsibility is, as stated in that passage, to wait on God, to trust God. So I wanted to just bring us to three particular points. The importance of trusting God, the importance of trusting the process, that even if we're going in a direction that we can't actually see where we're going, and we don't quite get what the fruit's going to be, the fruit may not even be what we wanted it to be, but it's going to be good fruit. And trust that his love and grace runs deeper than anything else. The passage that was read beautifully by Charles, it spoke about how our sinful nature and the spirit are incompatible. They can't go alongside one another, and we can so easily get caught up by fear of sin and a feeling of, well, there are so many murky things in me or that I do. There's no way that I can therefore produce fruit like love or fruit like joy. But we have to remember that God's grace, it runs deeper than all of that. If you think of a jug and you have oil in the bottom of the jug, and the oil being our sinful life, fear, all the fruits and parts of our character and being that aren't as we were designed to be. As you pour water into that jug, they can't mix. They have different densities. And so oil, as the higher density, rises to the top and it overflows out of the jug as the more water that pours in. It's a continuous process of being filled by the Spirit. Just as we sang earlier, we can always invite God in more. We can always invite his Spirit to help wash us clean again. So life by the Spirit, it is not a state of striving, but of being. What can we do to access it? Wait on and trust in God. Looking at the end of the passage in Galatians, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's make that our prayer. that we would not be caught up by fear of doing wrong things, by fear of saying wrong things, of an incapable nature of being able to live by the Spirit and show those fruits. Let's trust that God does that. Through us, miraculously, God does that. So let's just take a moment to be quiet. And I'm just going to read those three phrases again. And I just really love you to just think, which of those phrases is ringing in my ears? Which one is what I really need to hear today and to learn afresh, or to learn for the first time? Trust in God. Trust in his process. Trust that his love and grace runs deeper than anything else. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you today. And we take our hands off responsibility that is not ours to hold. But we desire to experience life by your living Spirit. Lead us to a place of trusting in you, whether it's for the first time or for the 100th time, and knowing that your love and grace runs deeper. In your precious name, amen.